How many of you want to be blessed by God? How many of you want Him to open up the windows of heaven? And how do you think that you're going to get these blessings? How do you, what do you have to do in order to receive from God? And I said this morning we're going to find out how. So in that song I just played, Santa Baby, she wanted a yacht. She wanted a deed to a platinum mine. She wanted a duplex in checks. She wanted her tree decorated with things from Tiffany's. And she said, I believe in you, Santa. Won't you believe in me, too? But what did she base all of her getting off of? She said, I've been good all year round. I haven't. Think of all the boys that I could have kissed. Next year I could be just as good. If you'll check off my Christmas list. Say neighbor, neighbor. We have some Santa baby Christians. We have some Santa baby Christians in the church. A lot of folks think that if we do for God, God is going to do for us, right? Well, Lord, I done went to church Sunday. I went to church Wednesday. I cut the grass, plowed the field, planted the seed, passed out tracts. I have been a good Christian. I have been a good little servant. Now I want you to bless me, amen. She thought she deserved all that she was getting because she was so good, amen. What does God say about our goodness? Anybody know what God says about our goodness? In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says this. But we are all as unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So God said, first and foremost, you are dirty, you are filthy, you are full of iniquity, you can't be good. You are all your attempts to be good are no good. Past, present, and future attempts to be good are no good. Jesus said there's none good. No, not one save God. So how on earth do we get blessed by God? How many of y'all know that God at one point had a Santa baby Christian plan? Y'all know that? In the Bible, God had made a covenant with man to bless man based off of what he did or didn't do. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's read this Santa Claus contract that God had with man based off of what men would do and what men would not do. And this was at one time God's plan for man, but God designed it to fail because he knew that men cannot do right. Outside of God, you cannot do right. So God says this, and this is the law. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, hallelujah, that if thou shalt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe and to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above the nations of the earth. You see these prosperity preachers say, oh, glory to God, God said that he will set you above high, above all the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. And then they go on to say and said, and all these blessings, read that church, and the word of God says, all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. So basically, if you obey God, if you do what God says to do, he is going to do the following. He says in verse 3, blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall I be in the basket at thy store. You're going to get those good deals at Kroger's, Mom. Amen. She likes those Kroger deals, the manager special, amen. Blessed shall thy basket be in the store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. This is right, we're reading the Bible this morning, amen. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth. Glory. Don't you like this? God said, if I obey him, I'm going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. My enemies won't have any victory. I'm going to be more than a conqueror. I'm going to have nations bowing down. Hallelujah. This sounds like a good plan. That's not a good plan to you, church. Just by obeying God, just by trusting God, God was going to do all this stuff for you. Amen. The Lord shall establish thee, verse 9, a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Wow. What a deal. We see the terms of the deal in verses 1 and verse 2 of chapter 28. It says, if you observe and do all his commandments, that's speaking of the law. All of the law. Read Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, Exodus, if you want to know all the laws of God. If you will do all the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not use the Lord thy name in vain, thou shalt honor the Sabbath day, honor your mother and father, don't covet. If you do all those, not just the 10, but all of the commandments. Leviticus, if you borrow from your neighbor and you lose in all of the thousands of laws that were in the Old Testament, if you do all of those things which I command to you this day, I, God, am going to do this. You do your part. I, the Lord God, am going to do my part. Amen. That was the deal. But let's look a little bit further. God said, if you do all this, and hold on, let me finish. We're in verse 9. Let me finish the blessing part. And it says, all the people of earth shall see thee, that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware upon the fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open up to thee his good treasure, the heaven and the rain, and unto thy land in its season, and to bless all of the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I mean, you have more than enough to spare. That sounds like Jesus, give, asking nothing in return. You have so much you can give away, you don't even need to ask or a borrow. And the Lord said, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. And if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, and to observe and to do, thou shalt not go aside from any other words which I command thee this day, to the right hand, to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. So God, he put it in print. You know, they say, if you're going to make a deal, put it in writing, right? So God put in his word the writing of this Santa baby clause. You want me to bless you? Be good. I'll give you that sable and that Christmas tree. I'll give you that Tiffany's and the checks and the duplex. But you have to do what? Obey every last command that God ever gave. That means if you mess up one time, you have voided the deal. God is no longer required to bless you or to prosper you or to do anything because you didn't keep the terms of the agreement to be sinless. Basically, if you were not sinless, then this would not have helped you at all, would it? If you weren't Christ, this, we're going to be wrapped up in Isaiah. We are all an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So, that would be a great plan, wouldn't it? To get all these blessings from God. Amen. But if we look down to the next verse, verse 15, how many know God is there? He says, if you hearken unto my voice, I'm going to do this. If you don't hearken to my voice, I'm only going to read a little bit because the consequences of not obeying God were so much more severe. So you have about 14 verses of blessing and you have over 40 verses of cursing. If you don't obey God. So understand that. Obey, you have 15 verses. If you didn't obey, you were going to have 40 verses of curses. So let's just see what these curses sound like. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. It's the exact reverse. Cursed shall thy be in the city. Cursed shall thy be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket in the store, no good deals. Cursed shall the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee a cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that settles thine hand unto do until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. I know God does not like disobedience. So he goes on. And the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall smite thee with the consumption, with the fever, and with inflammation, and with extreme burning. That sounds like arthritis. And with the sword, and with the blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth under thee shall be iron, meaning you can't plow or plant seed. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. That was only up to verse 24. It goes all the way down to verse 68. Amen. So this Santa baby plan, I would never sign up for that. Would you sign up for that plan? They have to be perfect or cursed. You either be perfect or cursed under the Old Testament. That's why my dad always preaches, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. You're under grace. It's because none of us could ever keep the law perfectly. It was an impossible plan. They had to offer sacrifice every single day because they constantly messed up. Imagine every time your kids messed up, you had to go kill a sheep. Sheep are expensive. Imagine that. So, how, church, can we receive the blessings from God? How do we get blessed if I can't be blessed based off of my actions and my goodness and my faithfulness and my obedience? How, God, what must I do to have you bless me? What do I need to do to be blessed? Amen. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. You can go there if you want to. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, verse 14 reads, "For as many are as of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that the just, justified, shall live by faith. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, and the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So how is it that a believer can access the benefits and the blessing of God if it's not by your works and not by the things you do? The way you receive the blessings of God is through faith. Amen. The justified, those that believe in Christ, those that have been redeemed, those that have been declared innocent, the way that we receive blessing from God is through faith. Christ died to end the law. Amen. Jesus said, "I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." Amen. Meaning that all of God's requirements that had to be done in order to prove that the law was fulfilled, Jesus did from the day he was born to the day he would die. He did not transgress the law at all. So let's put it all together. Y'all should get excited. If Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, never transgressed God in any way, shape, or form, but was perfectly obedient, what do you think happened to him? Blessed was he in the city. Blessed was he in the field. All the blessings of God are in who? Christ. Why are all the blessings in Christ? Because he kept the contract that we could not keep. Do y'all get that this morning? Jesus Christ was born under the law. He said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Meaning, I am coming to do what you could not do, Rosita. I have come to do what you could not do, Bennett Ray. I have come to do what you could not do, Kendra. I have come to take my Father's word and live them out in this life. And because I'm not going to transgress, because I'm diligently hearkening to my Father's word, nevertheless my will be done, but your will be done, all of the blessings of God are found in one person, Jesus Christ. God will honor his word. How do y'all know? God will not violate his own word.
Amen.
He said in his word, if you diligently hearken unto me this day to all my statutes and judgments and the things I tell you to do, I can't help but to bless you. It is impossible. But since me and you could not do it, I couldn't do it, you couldn't do it, but Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. So how does this help me, Pastor? You mean that only Jesus is blessed? Only he is the one that receives the blessing of God? No. Who is in you? How are we saved? We're not saved by works. Ephesians says we are not saved by works, lest any man should boast, for it is the gift of God. Amen. The way that we receive anything from God is through faith in his son. That's why you cannot be blessed being a Muslim. Muhammad, all the promises of God were not in Muhammad. All the promises of God were not in Confucius. All the promises of God were not in Buddha. None of these men fulfilled the law of God. None of them were worthy to be counted. None of them were worthy to be set lower than angels but crowned higher. None of them were worthy to be called the son of God. Only Christ. Amen. That is why it's a waste of people's time to follow any other person than Christ. Because all the blessing, the only person in all of humanity that fulfilled the law of God was Jesus. Amen. So it says, for the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which wherein were the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Amen. If you take the wrong approach to the things of God, you will have the wrong fruit. If I try to go out to my car and put in my house key to start my car, it ain't going to go nowhere. Amen? Lucas, come here. Right now. Come here. Sit your butt there and don't get up. Now. Up here. Up here. Now he's under the law. If he gets up, a curse is going to come to his behind. All the way up here. All the way up here. Come here. Sit your butt right there. Not on the floor, on the pew. Get there. See, God's work needs to be correction. You get up. Deal with the hearken of my word this day, you will get it. But the just shall live by faith. As I said, if I went out to my car and I put my house key in it, and I know I got gas in it, I know that the tire's got air, the battery's good, it just doesn't work. A lot of Christians' lives are failing, and they don't understand how the book says one thing, how they're supposed to be, and they're totally contrary. It's because they try to come to God through every other way, but the one way, and that's through faith in Christ. If you want to receive the things of God, you have to go through the person that God put all his things in.
Amen.
Does that make sense? If you're coming together, if you want to receive all of the love and all the forgiveness and all the mercy and all the power and all the grace and all the mercy, All of those things are wrapped up into one person. And God says the way you get in that one person is not by you trying it and doing, but by simply believing in Him. That's why the Bible says, for God to love the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. I can believe that Jesus Christ can save. I can believe that Jesus Christ can give me eternal life. I can believe the word of God that says I am wicked. I can believe that word because I see it in myself. Amen?
Amen.
I don't have to question. I don't have to argue with God that I was a sinner. God, I was not a sinner. Did you lie? Yeah. Did you steal? Yeah. Did you use my name in vain? Yeah. You see, I can receive that Jesus Christ was the perfect man and all of God's perfect promises were put in this man named Jesus. John 1:16 says, and of his fullness we have received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God provides blessings by grace. Say to your neighbor, God provides blessings by grace. Unmerited favor. But how do you receive these blessings? God's grace is His part. We can't earn God's grace. We can't earn His mercy. That's His part. The part that we play as a Christian is that we have to receive it by faith in Christ. The only way you will receive the things of God is through faith in Christ. Grace is God's part. Faith describes our part. Grace is what is provided by God, but faith is what you and me have to apply. What are you saying, preacher? How do I demonstrate my faith? How do I prove that I have faith? Amen. When y'all came in the church this morning, how many of you took to your knees, looked underneath that bench, and checked it out to make sure that you weren't going to fall? Now, we got some people in here like that backwards. You're like, you would take some faith and sit on it. Amen. But how many of y'all looked underneath your chairs and made sure that the screws were in place? Anybody? How many of y'all crawled on the floor and said, oh, this looks, oh, no termites in here. This looks good. No one did that, right? Because you looked at that piece of wood and you said to yourself, wood is strong. That must be good. I said that last week. Nothing could be wrong this week. So without a second, you didn't know you were applying faith, but you did. You put your trust in a piece of wood, and that piece of wood is now supporting you, amen? Every day we get in our cars, we just assume they're going to get us from point A to point B. We don't doubt it. We don't pop up the engine. We don't check the oil every day. We don't check the tires every day. We don't check the water and the coolant levels every day. We just assume that it's going to get us from point A to point B because it has proven itself time and time again, right? The reason we don't check these things out is because it has proven itself time and time again. You sat there for the last 3 weeks. You have no reason to doubt that it's going to do what it said it's going to do, that it's going to support you. Amen. Well, guess what, church? There was a piece of wood on Calvary's hill. And upon that piece of wood, there was a perfect man. And inside of that perfect man, all of the sins of the world were put upon him. On this cross of Calvary, that little piece of wood, God says, place your faith in what my son has done there, amen. Place your faith in what my son did for you to set you free from the life of sin and the bondage and the power of this world. But look and live, amen. In Old Testament, look and live at the cross, amen. I don't know how y'all gained. Y'all must have been asleep this morning. Put your faith in Christ and you will receive His life.
Amen.
You see, salvation is for everybody. But if you and I don't put our faith in Christ, put our key into heaven, then you'll never receive the things of God. You can try to work your way to blessing. You can try to do all the wonderful things in the world. But God says, you know what? You had your chance. You failed. You have come short of the glory. You have missed the mark. I don't have time for that. I'm going to send my son, to show you the way. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Listen here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I want to read that again, and I'm going to read it slowly, and I want you to tell me where the blessings are. Verse 3, I'm reading it very slow. I want you to tell me where the blessings are. Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Okay, where are the blessings? They're in spiritual places, heavenly places, in who? Christ. God, I see all your blessings. They're up there with you. Oh, Jesus, they're up there with you, Jesus. All the things you told me are up there with you. Blessings are in heavenly places. So how do you get those blessings in heavenly places all the way up there down here in the physical realm?
How does this happen? How do I see? I know God has blessed, he has provided blessings, but they're up there and I'm down here. How on earth, Lord? Man, I see all your blessings. Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. What is God's avenue for you to receive blessing? It's Christ. You can jump all you want. You never reach them. But if you lift up your hands and say, Father God, I have faith to receive. I have faith to receive healing. I have faith to receive a sound mind. I have faith to receive your mercy. I have faith to receive your forgiveness. I have faith. Then God will do what?
Bless you.
He'll give you just what he said. How do I know this? How do I know that if I exhibit faith, that God is going to do exactly what he said? Matthew chapter 7. Don't have to go there. Matthew chapter 7 and 7. Says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God is saying, I'm in heaven. If you want to be blessed, ask me. Ask me. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given. We ask through the person that God is going to hear, and that is Christ. We make our petitions through Christ. That's why we say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I ask. Because that is God's man. That is the one that God said, I have put all spiritual blessings in. That's the one that God says, all the fullness of God dwells in him. That is the one that says, I am that I am. I am the way, the truth, the life, the Alpha, the Omega, the bright and morning star, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. How can all these persons be in one person? It's because God's spirit is in him. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. So God is here and we are here, and it's a simple ask. But see, people are dumb. They try to do stuff, then they ask. Well, God, I got up this morning, I went to church, I praised you really good, Lord. Sit down, Lucas. I praised you really good. I clapped my hands. Tears were flowing through my eyes, Lord. I just felt your presence. Now, Lord, can I have this? Can you bless me with this? And I'm not telling you that it is wrong to worship God and to pray and do the things that we are called to do. But if you think in all of those doings and in all of that stuff that it moves God one way or another, you are mistaken. It is because of Jesus Christ that you enter into worship, because he's given you a reason to want to praise. It's because of Jesus Christ that you fell down on your knees and you couldn't move but just bask and say, thank you, Jesus. It's because of Jesus Christ that you had the desire to come to church. It's because of Jesus Christ that you had the desire and the strength to wake up this morning. It's because of Jesus Christ that you have health. It's because of Jesus Christ that you have a sound mind. It's because of Jesus Christ that he hasn't got us torn up yet. It is because of Christ that we do these things. So how can I come to God and say, God, I did all this, now bless me? That is a slap in his face. Because you think you have that in you to do. When the Bible says we are filthy, we are each gone into our own way. We don't even understand things right. But then we think because we've done a couple good things and now God is going to all of a sudden have to get up out of his seat and just bless us, when the reality is he has already blessed us and all he wants his people to do is praise him for what he has done. He said, try me. People are stingy with God when it comes to giving because they don't believe that God's going to give them anything. So they're like, let me open up. And I'm not talking about giving money. I could care less. But I'm telling you, if you want to receive from God, give him back what he gives you. The extra money I get, it came from him. You know, I work at AT&T. I have no control over those people calling my phone saying, I would like to set up new service. Now, I'm on the disconnection line. I get people calling in to cancel the service. But all of a sudden, someone calls in, I would like to set up brand new service with AT&T. I want the biggest package that you have. I want the U450. And you know what? I want it at my mama's house, too, for a Christmas gift. Now, that's out of my control. So am I going to say, because I showed up to work today, because I took a lot of calls, that somehow this call just popped into my right lap? Or am I going to say, I know that was you, Lord. I know that was you, Jesus. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. How can I say it was by my effort that anything happens to me? It's not. The moment that we realize that we are here on a lease for God's good. We are not our own. We have been brought with the price. I cannot choose to just yield what I want to God. We have to yield our entire selves to God. Why? Because as you do that, guess who has access? Jesus. Don't you want God to have access in your life? I would rather the blesser be in my life. The one that has kept the covenant of God, that has fulfilled all of the law of God, that is perpetually and continually and always abounding in blessing. Amen. And Jesus made it so real. He said, you know what? Here's how willing God is. Let me tell you how wonderful the Lord is. On the cross, his last words, it is finished. In John, I believe it's chapter 17, the Lord is saying, Lord, he's praying to the Father, says, Father, restore me to the glory that I had with you before here. Basically, Jesus saying, Lord, I want to go back home. He was ready to go. He said, Lord, restore to me the glory which I had before thee, with thee. I'm ready to go. This is John 17. I'm positive, John 17. Restore to me the glory which I had before. Let me go there. John chapter 17. I want you to see this. I want you to see it this morning. Let me give you your Bible real quick. Y'all came today. John chapter 17. Jeremiah. Yes. Yeah. All right, it says, verse, John chapter 17, in verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world. They were thine, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me that are of thee. But Jesus says in verse 4, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the foundation of the world. Now imagine that. Jesus Christ is saying, and he's praying for his disciples. He knew he was getting ready to go home, praying that they become one, telling God to keep them safe in the world, keep them together, just making his remarks for the believers. But he says, restore to me. Give me your glory back. Lord, I have been on this miserable earth for 33 and a half years. I have glorified your name against all opposition. I have magnified your name. I have told them about your kingdom and about what you're coming to do. Now restore to me with thine own glory. Amen. Now imagine Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. The work was done. He completed the plan, the purpose that God has for his life. He gave up the ghosts. They buried him. 3 days later, he was risen. A couple days after that, the disciples saw him going up to heaven in a cloud. And then later on in the book of Acts, Stephen said, I saw the Lord sitting on the right hand of the Father, meaning that the work was done. But this same Christ that came and was abused and beaten and smitten, the same Christ that made the dead awake, made the lame walk, healed the sick, the same Christ that has sat down, meaning that the work is completed, is the same Christ that is willing to get up and come down to help you out in your present situation.
Amen.
This is the kind of God that we serve. The God that said it is finished, but he says, you know what? I'm going to come on down and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so that he'll bear witness unto me. Amen. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that he might magnify and bring out the truth of my name. He says, I am going that he may come. It is expedient that I leave that he may come. Because some of y'all need a better revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He illuminates. He opens up your eyes into deeper truth of who Christ was. When you understand this Jesus, who was willing to get up and help you well beyond what his initial purpose was. What a mighty God we serve. 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 Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. I don't know about you, but when I get home from work, I'm ready to sit down. Kids, get away. I tell my wife, I'm much more productive when I'm up and about. When I'm down, I'm down. But we serve a God that is willing to go beyond his initial call. Going outside just to help us. And how do we get God to move on our behalf? It is by believing in him. Jesus said, if you have faith, if you have what of a mustard seed?
Faith.
If you have a little tiny faith. If you have a little bit of faith. If you have faith of a mustard seed. A little bitty tiny seed. With that amount of faith, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it be removed.
Man.
What is that telling us? If I have a little bit of faith, I can move a mountain. If I have a little more faith, I can change this world. I can change this family. I can change the environment that I am in because I am believing in the one that made the mountain. You can ask God, Lord, will you move that mountain that you made there so I can get a clear view of your beautiful son? Ask things according to his will, and it will be done. Amen.
Amen.
Blessings need to make it from the spiritual into the physical realm. How does this happen? Through faith. Y'all don't believe me? Go to Mark chapter 5. I'm almost done. I know y'all probably getting freezing. I thought it would be warmer quicker, but y'all need this word this morning. Are you ready for this? Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. We're going to show a woman who had some faith. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Here's her faith. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing that himself virtue had gone out, he turned about the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples unto him, thou seest this multitude thronging thee, he saith, who touched me? But he looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Wow. So this was a woman, much like us, that started out trusting the world. My dad's brother Larry's in the hospital being tormented of doctors. He has an issue of cancer, fourth stage cancer, plaguing him in every way, shape, and form. Hasn't been 12 years, but it's been about 12 months. Amen. And had suffered many things of the physicians and had spent all she had. Medicare dried up and was nothing better. How many of y'all know that if you have a Mercedes-Benz and the service engine soon light comes on, you need to take it to a Mercedes-Benz dealer because they've got the blueprint and the specs of how to fix that car. They know why that light came on. They know why it's acting up the way it's acting up. You wouldn't take that car to a doggone Chrysler place to have it fixed. But we are spiritual people. If you've got an issue, you need to go back to your Creator and say, God, help me. Amen. Instead of wasting all your time with doctors that don't know diddly squat. Amen.
Amen.
But it says she had heard of Jesus. How do people hear of Jesus in this day and age if Christians don't tell people that Jesus is the Savior, the healer, the mighty God? That she had heard. She had heard from people that had been touched by God. She said, Jesus, I heard about what he did. He fed the multitudes. He made the crippled man walk. He resurrected Lazarus from the grave. He parted. He walked on water. He made fishes come to the shore. Oh my goodness, in this man must dwell the fullness of God. In this man must dwell healings and virtue and prosperity. In this man. Surely, if I can just touch this man, this covenant keeper, if I can get through the obstacles that are keeping me from him, and I can reach out and touch this man, I know I'll be healed. Some of y'all get discouraged because there are more people in front of what you want to get to. The Bible says there are a multitude. Everybody's trying to get to the Lord. Sometimes you have to be abrasive to get to God. Get out of my way! I need him a little more than you today. Amen? Sometimes you have to go through a little bit to get to what she wants. But she didn't let the multitude discourage her. You know, sometimes you see these big old rock concerts and they got all these millions of people and you're trying to get to the one on stage. Do not be discouraged over what little obstacles you have to get what you need. But you get there. And she said, "And if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." And not in 10 days, not in 20 minutes for the Advil to start kicking in, but straightway, immediately. How many of y'all know that God is quicker than a shot? God's power, you see, she didn't come to him based off of how good she was, but based off her need. He said, "Who touched me?" A lot of people can touch Christ and not receive a thing. There's a multitude of people touching Jesus. But he's only saying to this one person, "Who touched me?" Faith touches God. You can feel him all you want, but if you're not feeling him in faith, you're not touching him. You're not receiving him. You can bump into the things of God all you want and not come out one bit different. But who touched my clothes? A lot of people were touching his clothes. "Come here, Jeremiah. Come here. Come here, Lucas. Come here. Come here, Leah. Come here, all y'all over here. Come on. Who wants to be Jesus? You want to be Jesus? All right. Come right over here. You be in the center. Now I want you all to surround him. I want you to come over a little bit. I want you all to try to touch him. Come on, touch this. Little Jeremiah is going to be Jesus today. Come on, touch him. You're trying to get to him. You're all up on him. You're all this multitude. Come on, Regina. You be the woman that's got issue of blood. You got to get through all these obstacles. They got the security up. The side is trying to block them. And they're going to overthrow the security because they're trying to get up to this person. Now, we all have issues, but we're not coming to faith. But you're coming because you know this person has got what you need. Go ahead. Come on. Touch him. Come on. You got to get through some things. Come on. Touch him. They're trying to move around. You got to get through it. Oh, hallelujah.
All right.
Yeah, y'all be seated. All four of people were touching on him. Scripture doesn't record that they were all healed. But this particular woman who recognized that I am flat broke. I know there is something wrong with me. I need help. This woman understood these things. She said, "I need help." She sought help from every single person but the one that could help her. Amen? But then she heard the good news. Uh-huh. She heard that Jesus Christ said, "I have come to heal." Hallelujah. He had heard that, "I have come to take away the sins of the world." She had heard that God was in this man and that people thought he was the Messiah and a great prophet. And not only did she believe, but she went to him expecting to receive.
Amen.
You can't approach God asking him in prayer if you don't believe he's going to do it. What sense does that make to ask God for all this stuff if you don't believe that he's going to do it? So if you want faith to work, you've got to believe that he's going to do what you're asking him to do. So many people say, "Lord, heal me of my headache. Lord, heal me of my headache." And then they go in the same second, they go get some Advil or Tylenol or Motrin. What's the point? If you ask God to do it, never in his word does he use mediators to do things. Sometimes he'll send men to bless you and things like that. But some things you need to receive directly from God. Amen? So she understood her need. So many people don't ever ask God for anything because they think they've got it all together. I don't come to church. I don't need Jesus. I'm good. I got everything. I'm good. I'm great. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I got a good job, good car. Sit down, Lucas. I got everything I need. I don't need Jesus. Listen, I got good medical insurance. If I get sick, I have no copay. I have no deductible. And they put their faith in these cards. And then their company goes bankrupt. What good is that going to do you then? People think that they're so great and wonderful that they don't even recognize their need for Christ. They don't even recognize it, so they don't come. Churches aren't empty because preachers are always saying, give money. People don't come because they don't see a need. Amen? They have been satisfied through other avenues. What they don't realize is they're wasting their money. They're wasting their time. And eventually God will orchestrate circumstances that will cause them, will cause every knee to bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Through the cross, God provided His system, His new covenant. And last week we had communion, and it says, this is the covenant of the New Testament, this is my blood. The new covenant is so wonderful because me and you are not the covenant keepers, but Christ is. Meaning God established a contract with Christ that basically says, Jesus, anyone that puts faith in you is going to be all right with me. Jesus, anybody that comes to you in faith is going to have a new name and going to have everlasting life because you are perfect, you are holy, you are a covenant keeper. You have kept the terms of my contract, and as a result, they can never be voided. All right? So as a recipient of this contract, as a joint heir with Christ, all of the terms and conditions, the clause is faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. But we have to constantly understand that pride will kill any Christian. Don't ever let God, you know, God's going to use you, and as He uses you, don't ever start to think that because God has used you to lead somebody to Christ that you're so special. That's your job. And He put that person in your path. He planted, He watered, He caused the increase. He just used you to reap because that's what He told us to do. For the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. He has sent us to reap, amen. There are so many people that are hungry, trying to have a change in their life. There will be people Monday when they lay my friend to rest that are going to be that are going to feel hopeless, that are going to be sad. Mother lost two sons in a month. Do you think that she doesn't need the Lord? We are perplexed and distressed on all sides, but we are not destroyed because of Christ, the solid rock. Without Christ, we will all crumble. Without Christ, the world is crumbling. The more they try to the change laws and all this nonsense, you know, some people, gay rights, what is that? Next thing you know, they'll be giving pedophiles rights. Things that are unmoral, things that are unnatural. Let's just make a right for it. Let's pass some legislation. Let's get this approved. And the consequences will be that God will bring His judgment upon the United States of America if we continue to allow immorality to reign without restraint. The church is that restraint. And if we fail to proclaim Christ, then sin will run rampant. If we fail to declare that there is a holiness and that there is a cure and there is salvation for the gay, there is salvation for the murderer and the rapist and the wife beater and the alcoholics, there is salvation for the drug addict and the people that are filled with pride. If we fail to do our part, and the Bible says that the church, if we're scarcely saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? If we fail to proclaim that Jesus Christ can set free of all these bondages, then people are in bondage because of our failure to proclaim and to exhibit faith and to show faith in Christ. Don't ever think that a person can't be saved. I don't care if they're the most, hello, how you doing? Oh, you know, sometimes you see them, they're so fruity, it's against fruit. Just, I don't know how to say it, but they're just a different level of, hi, hey. You know, that's an act. God will change the act and prove his fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the one that breaks the bondage. He is the one that sets the crooked ways and makes them straight. But if we don't ever proclaim this Jesus and show how faith has transformed our life, then that woman's got an issue of blood, doesn't know where to turn. Self-help books are selling in the millions, and they don't have anything to do with Jesus. You can get a lot of things in this world if you have a handsome face and a good name. People looking at you thinking, oh, I want to be like him. Oh, I want to be like so-and-so. You should want to be and should be like Jesus. Santa baby Christians, I'm going to be a keep my faith in Christ for the rest of my life Christian. Amen. Because the way that the blessings of God come through is through faith in Jesus Christ. Y'all have it this morning? If you want God to bless you, I ask the questions this morning. How many of you want to be blessed by God? How many of you want him to open the windows of heaven? How do you think you'll get these blessings? What do you have to do in order to receive them from God? It is simple. Put your faith in Christ. Put your faith in what he has done on the cross of Calvary. And as a result, he will transform you into one that was apart from God to one that is set apart for God. He'll change you from one that was sold out for this world to one that is not sold out for Christ, but that is Christ on this earth as an ambassador for his name's sake. People like labels. I got Jesus. I got this. I got milk. Do you have salvation? Have you approached God not to just be in his presence, but to actually receive something from him? A lot of people say the sinner's prayer, but they're saying it because they don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers, or they just want to go along with the flow. But you got to at some point veer off and say, Lord, I need you myself. I need to be saved. I need to receive your spirit. I cannot do this without your help. And when you come to God with faith, and I'm talking genuine faith where you know that 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 God is the only one that can answer your prayer, you'll receive everything the same that he has for you.
Amen.
I shall stand at your feet this morning. Can you receive it this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you examine our hearts, Father God. And Lord, I ask that you find in each and every one of us faith. Faith in what you've done, Father God. And the same faith that we put in you for salvation, Father God, is the same faith that we need to continue to receive your mercy and your forgiveness. Lord, you are a life changer, because when we put our faith in you, you come inside of us and you make the changes. You make the ways that were wrong right. You give us life, and you give us life more abundantly, Father God. Let us always be humble and understand that it's not by what we have done that we've received anything from you,
But it's through your precious Son, who was obedient unto death, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, Lord. As we leave this place, Lord, and as we worship in the sanctuary, Father God, I ask that your Spirit just fill this church in a way that it's never done before. Father God, let us reach out and touch those that they might hear of our faith and come to Jesus, Father God. Let us receive the things you have, expecting to receive them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you need salvation this morning, there's no better time to meet Jesus than today. If you need prayer this morning, you may come up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.